Today is Father's Day, and I'm very thankful to tell you that I was blessed to have a wonderful father who loved me and was never afraid to tell me, or to tell me that he was proud of me and my three sisters. But he was also stern, and he meted out punishment when deserved. Sad to say that it was 41 years ago in 1976 that my dad went to be with the Lord. That night, or I should say early morning, as we all gathered at my mother's house, a very important man in my life, or was about to become a very important man in my life, came over to me. It's Marilyn's dad, Eric, who went home, by the way, to be with the Lord in 2005. Came over to me and he grabbed my hand and he looked at me and he said, "I can never replace your dad. But just know that I will always be here if you need me." And he was true to that promise. He also is a godly man who loved the Lord and loved his family. Were they perfect? No. Truth is, none of us are. Sadly, there are many people who have had bad experiences growing up with no real relationship with their dads, with their fathers, or they had a painful one with bad memories. You know, many years ago, my two kids, John, Eric, and Teresa, gave me a little plaque with a picture of the three of us on it. And they said, "Anybody could be a father, but it takes a real man to be a daddy." Wow. It's important to recognize that earthly fathers are in no way perfect. And we need to never lose sight of that fact and know that as hard as we try, we can never, ever be good as God the Father. As we try to look at and understand the character of God the Father, here are four truths that we should never, ever forget. First, God is the source of our existence. While there may be a great Big Bang on Thursday nights on CBS, I don't believe that the Big Bang brought us into existence. God spoke the world into existence with a word. God provides for us. God corrects us. And fourth, God loves us unconditionally. There's a Greek word for that kind of love. There are several different kinds of love that the Greeks identified. One is philo, Philadelphia, brotherly love. Another one is eros. You get my drift with that one. And then there's agape. Agape is unconditional. Sort of like your dog has for you. They just love you no matter what. God spoke these words through the prophet Ezekiel, saying, "I will judge you, each one according to his ways, declares the sovereign Lord. Repent, turn away from your offenses. Then sin will not be your downfall. Rid yourselves of all these offenses you've committed and get a new heart and a new spirit." Ezekiel 18, 30 to 31. Now God goes on to say through Ezekiel, "As surely as I live, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways and live. Turn from your evil ways." Please remember that from the very beginning, God has made it clear that he does not want to lose a single soul, but the choice is up to that person. Even in judgment, God is merciful. Abraham pleaded with God not to destroy Sodom if there were 10 righteous people in that city. And God agreed, as you could read in Genesis 18. However, there were not even 10 righteous people there. But even when God did destroy the cities of the plain, he delivered Lot and his daughters, and Lot's wife too, although she was punished for looking back in disobedience, disobeying the warning that she'd received from the angels in Genesis 19, 17. Even when God punishes mankind for their sins, it's less than they deserve, and it's tempered with mercy and knowledge of the frailty of mankind. That's Psalm 103, 6 to 18. These are not words that we're making up. These are words that God has given us. Now, oftentimes, mercy and grace are confused. Mercy is us not getting what we deserve or to put it in a theological way, mercy is God not punishing us as we deserve. And what's grace? Grace is getting something that we never asked for in the first place, or we may have asked for, but we certainly didn't expect. Grace is God blessing us despite the fact that we don't deserve it. That, my friends, is true love. Now, sometimes God allows things to teach us valuable lessons from his word, as the psalmist affirms in Psalm 119, verse 71. It was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees. Let me just say this. 1997, I had to have my first hip replacement, my right hip replaced, and I never once asked God why me. In the year 2000, I had my left knee replaced. Same thing. 2004, I had my left hip replaced. All before that, in 1994, I had 18 inches of my colon removed. Yeah, I have a semicolon. I had to, I'm sorry. But I didn't ask. But I got to tell you, in ministry, I've had the opportunity to speak with more people as they approach a joint replacement or even going for something like a colonoscopy, to be able to encourage them. God uses all things for good. There's a lot of times that we can look and use what God has done. Some of you have had joint replacements. Some of you have had more than one joint replacement. And you know that God was with you the whole time. How often does a good father stand by knowing that his child may fall off the bicycle when he takes off the training wheels? Doesn't want his child to be hurt, but they have to learn from that experience, or even skin knee, in order to learn. Well, the Apostle Peter put into a perspective for us with this message of comfort and hope. From 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 9, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. That's like rehab, you know. These things have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you've not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you're receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. God himself knew that we needed someone to help us to be better. And so he sent his son, Jesus, to be the earthly image that we can try to emulate. We could try as hard as we want to try to be like the Father. But Jesus took on flesh for a purpose, for a reason, not just to die. Peter writes, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Some erroneously claim that God the Father only loves us for the sake of God the Son. But that, my friends, is clearly a misunderstanding. Scripture plainly states that God the Father loved the world so much that he sent his Son as the Savior for whoever believes, and that he loved us long before we ever loved him. The Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians of the great love with which God the Father loved us. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 6. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It's by grace that you've been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms of Christ Jesus. The Apostle John marveled at the manner of the love that God the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. And he said that in 1 John 3, verses 1 to 2. These are not the characteristics of some unpredictable tyrant, but instead of a loving father. Jesus is the means of reconciliation between a holy God and a sinful, rebellious, and sometimes self-centered humanity. I think it would be most helpful for us to look at exactly why he sent his son Jesus. And so I'm going to ask you, while they're still next to you, because those racks are coming, please open your pew Bibles to page 1651. It's from the Gospel of John. And let's begin with verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Don't stop. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Despite our sin and rebellion, God loved us. God still loves us. God loved us enough to send his Son, who died for us, so that our sins could be forgiven. When we believe in Jesus, we can die to self, and the Spirit of God will guide us in living for him. These are not just words. These are promises and proof of the salvation that can only come in Jesus Christ. And that, my friends, is true love. Yes, God is holy, righteous, and just. Therefore, he's a God of judgment, wrath, and vengeance. But these are not his only characteristics. God the Father is clearly shown in both the Old and New Testaments as merciful, long-suffering, gracious, and above all, compassionate. The very fact that he promised and planned for our redemption right after the fall, all the way back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, shows how much he loves us, all of us. He chose to seek and offer us a means of salvation, himself, even when we were his enemies. In Romans chapter 3, verse 26, Paul wrote, "For God is both just and justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus." That's a very powerful word, faith, believing, trusting. I think the psalmist said it best when he contemplated the full scope of the character of God. Listen to these words from Psalm 85, verse 10. Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. A good father, good parents, want to provide for a good future for their children. They plan for college, for financial stability, a good financial start, and to be there when needed for guidance and correction. Loving unconditionally. When that 5-year-old looks at you and says, "I can't wait till I'm 18 so I can move out," don't worry. Don't worry. Look at the love that's in that young child's eyes and the wonder when they learn something new. It's a true blessing. Hang in there, because 18 will come and they'll be loving you all the more as you love them. God the Father sought to provide for our future, our eternal future, by providing a means of salvation and freedom from sin. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you confess and are saved. The Apostle Paul wrote that to the Romans in chapter 10, verses 9 through 10. I want you to hear these words from Micah, who was amazed at the absolute depth of God's love. Who is a God like you? Who pardons sins and forgives the transgressions of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. Micah chapter 7, verses 18 to 19. Sometimes people feel it's too difficult to try to be like God the Father. As Jesus told us in Matthew 5, verse 48, "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Well, the answer to that is to emulate the Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus, on the night before he died, said this to his apostles, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Don't stop there. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. God the Father loves us so much that he sent his Son not only to save us, but as a model for us to emulate, to try to live like, to try to be Christ-like. God the Father sent his Holy Spirit so that in our efforts of trying to be like him, we have a helper to help us to be in relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit with no restriction. I grew up having a father who I wanted to emulate with all my heart. We lost him way too early. But then that wonderful man, Eric, came to me and said, "I can never replace him, but I will be there for you." And he was as good as his promise, as good as his word. God is as good as his word. I was given role models. We have been given role models in God the Father, God the Son. And God sent his Holy Spirit to help lead and guide us, to encourage us, and to help us learn more about him and his love for us. And so I want to encourage you today to speak to him. He's listening, providing, correcting, and above all, loving us unconditionally. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.